Hey, Molly here to confirm that yes, the rumors are true. We're on Patreon. With your monthly membership, you'll get access to a bonus episode, as well as access to Patreon-only polls and posts about the info that we didn't have time for in the regular episodes. Hope to see you there. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
No, yeah, no, no.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
What do yeah. I don't, I've never, I, you, no.
Yeah. No, yeah.
No, yeah, that really
oh, hey.
Kind of grosses me out.
That was so organic.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Katie, and the only way to get into my pants is up, up, down, down, left, right, B-A, start.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hi. Oh my goodness, Katie.
I'm a genius.
Hi, I'm Molly, and yeah, I'm a gamer. I've played solitaire on a computer before. Welcome, Ben.
Hi, I'm Ben.
And we have Ben in the studio with us today.
I'm so excited. I came to the show under the impression that I was the first straight male. first straight cis male to come to the show, and I was ready to like kind of like knock everyone's socks off with articulation and,
oh, wow.
And sort of be like your Virgil almost as we dive into the depths of the hell that is gaming culture.
He kicked open the door and said, I'm the first man you've ever seen, baby.
Which he found out was a lie I told him.
Yeah, it was a lie.
Yeah, Katie says that to every man who comes on
the
show.
I'm like, you'll feel so special. You're the first, this guy. So I know Ben, he does a radio show called Without Warning, Sunday nights at 8 to 9 p.m. on KPIS FM.
You got it, yeah.
That's his whole thing. That's how we met.
Yeah, we do the show right before Personal Matters on KPIS.fm.
Personal Matters is Katie's show.
Personal
it's
Matters
my radio
is
show.
Katie and Kelsey Lawrence's show. And Katie and Kelsey have done the show in the past, and we've had a ton of fun. We usually pretend to have a topic, and then we just talk about... we're just in shock. We're just in shock about their sexual experience.
Yeah, Kelsey and I shocking a room of boys.
Yeah.
But then I said, you know who you need to meet? Molly. Because she'll keep us on track.
I'll really be a cold shower for both of you. Yeah, I've listened to those episodes and it stresses me out, honestly, like how titillating they are. I want to
take says it's too horny.
Katie and Kelsey and just knock their heads together and like, stop giving these boys what they want. but yeah, very excited to have you. Where can they listen to your shows, guys? For those of you who don't know, as soon as you move to Bushwick, you are given an indie radio show.
100%.
Yes.
It's an important part of life there.
KPIS.fm.
You can either choose the path of left podcasting, you can choose the path of ironic comedy podcasting, or
somehow I've done it all.
Somehow you've done it all.
Yeah. So yeah, Ben is here to help us understand Katie and I. This season we're covering fandom, and video games are the fandom that I think that Katie and I have the most trouble wrapping our minds around. So we knew we needed a guest expert. So that's why Ben is here. But before we get started, you probably heard at the top of the show, Katie and I are on Patreon now.
Yeah.
And when you sign up, you get an extra bonus episode every month, along with a couple other tidbits.
Yeah.
So check us out there, patreon.com/ yeah, no, yeah. Thank you to the 10 people who have already joined. Thank you so much. Welcome.
I'm curious, am I going to be a Patreon episode or a...
No,
you're a real
You're the free episode.
We wouldn't make our listeners pay to listen to a man.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay, so one thing that really strikes me, Ben, when I dive into the world of video games is that the media depictions and article think pieces about video games tend to be so negative. Like, they're just like, they all have that. I watched a Vice documentary about gaming specifically in South Korea, mm-hmm. and they all have this tone of like, oh my God, look at these nerds. They're such losers. Can you believe these loser nerds? And so I wanted to talk about, start out on kind of a positive note. Like, what are some of the things that you really love about video games, your favorite video games, and like what you feel like you've taken away?
Yeah. So I think that, I think you're absolutely right in the way that media portrays gamers. And I think that it's such like people who play video games is such a wide audience, right?
Right.
I think that like when you have something like Wii Fit where like the entire family can bowl virtually, that's exciting for like suburban moms.
That's exciting for almost no one.
Yeah. No, but like I'm saying, like it's not, it's just so much broader than like the black-pilled basement kid. I mean, I think that most of what I want to talk about on Yano Yeah is the black-pilled basement kid. Since that's what your audience
don't we
is.
All?
Yeah. Since I think that's the titillation that you guys get from listening to Yano Yeah. It's the de-horniness after you come down from personal matters. You can really strike into nihilism.
We'll tuck you in over here.
But like, yeah, I mean, like I grew up playing like all of the Nintendo games, right? Like I loved like Pokemon and like Mario and Super Smash Brothers. And I think that like any, you know, creative art form, it like serves as a way to like introduce children to storytelling and like fantasy elements and like broaden your imagination. And I think like even with like those Nintendo games, they were born from like Miyamoto kind of crawling around the forests around.
Who is Miyamoto?
He was the creative director of Nintendo. He was like the head of Nintendo.
Keep in mind as you're talking, Katie and I have you ever played a video game?
I have.
Okay, I've played Donkey Kong maybe
once. We were Nintendo
in my
kids,
life.
My sister and I actually loved Nintendo.
Okay, so I've never
Mario Party, Mario really Kart.
Mario Kart. Why is it called Kart? Are you
racing?
Because you're racing, yeah.
You're in a cart.
You're racing.
Oh, you're racing carts.
You're in racing carts. It's basically like driving.
Like a go-kart.
Yeah, like a go-kart.
Okay, now I get it.
It's a driving game.
I've always wondered.
It's very fun. I always was Princess Peach, obviously.
Ooh.
I knew you were a Princess Peach.
I made my sister be
Toad. I know who
Toad.
Princess Peach is. yeah, so I have like a very passing familiarity with what Katie's talking about. As an adult, as a teen and then an adult, I remember being in circumstances where I'd be with a group of men and they'd be like, mm-hmm. Do you want to play video games? And I'd be like, no. And they'd be like, do you want to watch us play video games? And I was like, no to that also.
Grow but then, up, slap.
But then it would also just end up being like, what was happening? So I've seen video games happen. But it's one of those things where I feel like if you're not little when you first hold a video game controller.
Yeah, you're not going to get into it later.
As an adult, you can't, your thumbs can't understand what to do.
Totally. These thumbs?
And I've been also just like not the boy with like the girlfriend who brings over to like have like a giant video game watching party. But like I will be in a group of boys and like when I was like in eighth or ninth grade and like one of us was lucky to have a girlfriend for the first time. And like she would come over and like we would all be like, are we acting cool in front of the one girl that we've been lucky enough to like hang out with?
I was that one girl and I was always like, it's not so cool here.
Yeah.
Not just with Ben, but with everyone. But that really was a big part of like growing. I mean, I'm a little older than you, but still I remember going to parties where it was just boys playing
video
Mario
games.
Tons of everything happened.
And like
that was the thing.
It's like it's and of course there are women who play video games and like that, like obviously I don't want to get dinged on that.
No,
but I mean I think we're more talking about like the visibly bored girls that hang like Katie, but like also like the visibly bored girls who get like nagged into like playing and just be like, come on, babe, like it'll be fun. She'll be like, ah, fine. Like what do I press?
I just remember thinking like, God, it takes so long just to like pick their outfits. Like, you know, it's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
From the word go. But yeah, so okay, so obviously you've had like a long history of like this being like kind of a big part of your social life. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that, well, first of all, there is just like, you go over to someone's house and like I grew up in New York and like the winter months when there's nothing to do, you just like play like FIFA at my friend Nick's house or like I think the Madeline Dipton tea moment for me of like what I remember, like the moment I changed course from like being what could have been like a real basement gamer versus like a more social adult.
A living room gamer.
A living room gamer, exactly. When I was in seventh or eighth grade, there was a GameStop on 85th and Broadway. I think it's still there. And as I was walking there, this kid Kyle, who was the hot popular kid at my middle school, stopped me and asked what I was getting up to. And he I was going to buy this game called Metroid Prime Hunters, which is like an alien shooting game for okay. about as uninitiated as you get. And he asked me what I was doing in GameStop, and I freaked out and I said, I'm buying the new Madden game.
Like, I'm a boy.
Yeah, I'm buying like I'm buying the football.
It's a football game.
Football.
Yeah, he's like, so I'm like, I'm buying the football game. And he's like, oh, cool, I'll come with you. So instead of like,
hot just
like,
Kyle?
Letting, hot Kyle, yeah.
Wow.
But I was really bummed because now I have to pay $60 for this Madden game that I, because otherwise I would have gotten my bluff called, right? So we
God
like,
damn it, Hot Kyle.
No, Hot Kyle changed your life.
Hot Kyle
no,
changed my yeah. life is the point that I'm saying. I mean, like, at one. In one area, it is true that, like, yeah, I was a coward and I, like, completely submitted to toxic masculinity and social right. climbing and, yeah. like, wanted to do whatever
but
I could.
But it was for the best.
But it was for the, exactly, it was for the best. Because I think if I was just, like...
Two paths diverged in a snowy woods. And I took the one...
With Hot Kyle.
With Hot Kyle,
yeah.
Wow.
I'm thankful for that for you.
Yeah.
Who knows what you could have been?
I mean, now as a 25-year-old, or a 26-year-old, I am a complete shut-in gamer and regularly smoke pot, so it's
well,
a little bit different.
Don't tell yeah. Hot Kyle that.
Yeah. But it's so, okay, so you're 25, so in a way that's like the perfect age yeah. for what we're talking about, because so you've experienced this kind of, this is kind of the boy zone that was video games, but as we will discuss, now there are a lot more women playing video games nowadays.
Sure.
And it's sort of gotten, and now in the past 5 years especially, it's ballooned into this giant industry. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the huge amount of money being made in esports.
Oh, completely. I mean, like
esports.
Esports. So esports is like the World Cup. Is that a fair
Yeah,
comparison?
I mean, there's like so many games and so many different competitions that it is a large industry. I mean, like it will be as big as what we consider just like sports, right?
Really?
So right, yeah. It's funny that you bring
Oh, this
up,
is like Madden games.
Yeah. No. Oh, like no. Every game, no. like shooting
oh,
games,
game.
Like Call of Duty competitions,
oh,
overnight, Fortnite, they have like $1 million competitions.
Yeah.
Is Fortnite shooting?
Fortnite is shooting, okay. yeah. So, Molly, it's interesting that you bring up the Vice documentary on South Korean gamers because
right.
in South Korea, actually, because esports is such a huge export, they are like celebrities.
Really?
So every Vice documentarian who's like making kind of snide comments about nerdy South Koreans, well, those nerdy South Koreans are probably making way more than any like creative designer at Vice, like any underpaid Vice staffer who like thinks they're
yeah
have a title.
Take that Vice.
But also, we love Kelsey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The reporters are good. The industry sucks. But anyway, they they make so much money. And I think that, like, in the vein of the true crime, you know, angle that your listeners love so much, one of the biggest controversies in South Korean gaming is this kid, Life, who, when he was 18 years old, through games, like through tournaments for betting purposes.
Oh, yeah.
And is now in jail, in South Korean jail.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's just because gambling is illegal in South Korea, or?
Well, it's just, it's like any sports fixing, you know?
So
it's like fixing games.
So there's like a lot of problem now with like cheating. Okay, so this is a question I had about you. I was reading about, in specific, Overwatch
Yeah, so
League
Overwatch
problems.
League, yeah.
So they have a lot of problems with this. I read in the thing that you sent me that there are players who've been suspended for games for account and, selling an account and obstructing league office investigations. What is that?
Okay, so first of all, for the uninitiated, Overwatch League is like the NFL of esports right now, or like
okay.
what it's trying to be like the NFL, where there's like localized teams. So like we have the New York Excelsior here, like the Houston Outlaws, and Overwatch is a 6-person shooter game. So, you know, they have like these kind of class-based team systems. But outside of that, these players all have their own streaming empires and
okay.
their own fandoms on their own. So an account boosting is let's say Katie wants to build clout on the Overwatch circuit and get her skill rating up.
Sure.
And of course. She bought, yeah, which is important to Katie. Of course. Everyone knows. She needs to be a socialite in every industry.
Every industry I walk into, I say, where's the clout?
So account boosting is if you paid like one of these streamers or one of these really talented Overwatch players to log into your account and get you really good.
So they play under you.
Yeah, they play under your name.
Make it really successful. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Is that boosting?
That's boosting. Yeah, that's boosting. And just like selling your account is like if I just like let Katie use my password or email address for gaming. It's like that simple.
It's fraud.
It's fraudulent.
Simple. Though.
It ruins the spirit of the game.
It seems like it does.
Right. And because like talented gamers now are signing lucrative contracts with these teams, with these esport teams. I saw a Business Insider article that talked about how esports is on track to become a $1 billion industry. I think it already is, actually. Venture capitalists and other investors poured $4.5 billion into esports in 2018. So,
it's
you didn't
huge.
Even know about this.
No, I don't know.
So,
this didn't ring a bell.
One of those teams in esports, now they're forming little, what is it? Okay, so what is FaZe Clan?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. This is the meat and potatoes.
It's like F-A-Z.
F-A-Z.
So it's named after FaZe Banks, who I know from YouTube drama.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
He dated Alyssa Violet, who used to date Jake Paul. And
I know who FaZe is.
So you know who FaZe is.
Oh, he's this?
He's... So now we know who he is. So
okay, so
somehow worse than Jake Paul.
Yeah.
FaZe Banks is both my favorite and least favorite celebrity on the internet right now because he is. If I walked to GameStop when I was in eighth grade and Hot Kyle was like, "What are you buying?" and I was peer pressured into saying Metroid Prime Hunters. He is like the hot guy who is like. Made well, not like hot, but like I think
I would
for
never
like,
describe him as hot.
Oh no, he's
no,
hideous.
But like
he
the,
means cool.
Yeah, like the
just
confident.
The way he talks.
Oh, I know.
Like,
yeah,
I can see
his
it.
Mouth right now. Yeah. It's so bad.
It's like, but like the confident, I would say like very
confident,
alpha male,
very overconfident.
Where did he get that from?
Where
we'll
did
dive
he
into that
get
another
that
time.
Confident.
Well, I think
being
he dove
at something.
He dove into that confidence because like. And I think a lot of Twitch streamers do this, and this is why they land in trouble, is because they talk about themselves for hours and hours and hours a day, and they receive positive feedback. So when people are constantly tuning in to see what insights have been born from the brain of FaZe Banks and what stunt he's going to pull next, what Walmart shopper's life is he going to, like, I know, just like sick, stupid pranks like that. But, I mean, it's a feedback loop. So the more important the world thinks you are, the more important you actually think you are.
So, like, he's giving advice, like, on level 5, use a moon blaster instead of a...
Not quite.
Asteroid slingshot. Or, like, what is it?
Not quite. So I think he got to start playing Call of Duty and just, like, doing ridiculous... It wasn't, like, tutorials. It was more just, like, him doing, like, trick shots. So, like... Headshots.
Trick shots.
Yeah.
Like shooting between your legs.
Like shooting someone from a very like far distance. I mean, again, as
I wasn't wrong.
I mean, like as close as you can get to shooting someone between your legs, Katie.
I'm like, this trick shot? I was doing an aerobatic type of thing.
This is an audio medium, if you forgot.
I always forget you guys can't see me. This is, if you could, you'd be unhappy. Okay, so FaZe Banks, famous because he's good at Call of Duty originally.
Originally, yeah.
Call of Duty is the one where you're in the army.
It's mostly shooting.
You're in the army. Okay. Yeah. It's entirely shooting. And he, I think, has like sort of this personality where like the more like dead time he has to like talk to about himself and, you know, people who like are interested, who are mostly 8-year-olds who are asking.
That's the
like,
thing.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing with all YouTubers.
Like Jake Paul's,
like,
what is his
aren't
average
you
audience?
Ashamed
12?
Of the age of people who
I
are
am.
Your fan. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think this is why so many like spoiled kids like steal money from their moms and grandparents to fund their like V-buck addiction and like.
Okay, so V-bucks, what Ben just said. So V-bucks is what you spend in Fortnite, which is a really popular video game.
Yeah.
So among like 9 to 12 year olds, would you say, Ben, it's Fortnite is like the game.
Yeah, I mean, especially among that 9 to 12 demographic, but everyone plays it. I mean, at one point it was like most popular. Adults play it too,
right.
Which I think we should talk about later because that is like that is such a weird dichotomy that like adults are allowed at all to anonymously play video games with children.
Yeah.
It is so strange. It's so strange and no one like address. There should absolutely be an 18 plus limit on all online video
especially games. Especially because it's so, is this also the game that taught people about flossing the dance?
Yes, this is the game that
and
taught.
And I say gavel on that game. So, end it.
So yeah, so Fortnite, what Katie's referring to, for any boomers who are listening, I'm sure you're lost.
Yeah,
but
and we're
the
sorry.
Fortnite, like the characters do little dances and some of them and now kids do those dances, make YouTube videos or TikToks, God forbid, of themselves doing those dances
and one
and
of them
they
is
catch fire. And then there was a kid who
annoying.
Did a dance that inspired a Fortnite game. There's a whole world of,
I don't know.
Right?
Well, I mean, and this is maybe a different conversation as a whole.
I just had to ask.
There's a I forget the rapper, but there is a dance that you can do in Fortnite called the Millie Rock, which is, you know, kind of just like this arm motion.
Yeah.
And they used it without his permission, and it's technically intellectual property.
There's been a whole thing about intellectual property
about
and
dance.
It's the Carlton from the Fresh Prince. So from Fresh Prince, there was a Fortnite character who did his dance, and that was another intellectual property lawsuit. Yeah, some very interesting dancing lawsuits have come out of Fortnite.
2 million is the rapper.
yeah. So, okay, but I wanted to talk about, you mentioned V-Bucks. The whole V-Bucks scam thing is very funny because it's like there will be kids stealing their parents' credit cards to buy V-Bucks.
And that gets also them stuff in the game.
Right, okay. Yeah, you're buying like...
It's mostly superficial, right? So you're buying like new skins for your character. Like you're buying new clothes for your character.
Yeah. Oh, God, okay.
Yeah. So it's like you can have your character dress up like John Wick or something.
It's not
like
you're
that.
Getting a gun that's going to make you better.
I mean, maybe, but I think that, like, my experience with loot boxes is just like superficial and like a waste of money. I mean, again, as an adult, I'm sure is like,
right. What is a loot box?
A loot box is an in-game purchase that you can make to like get skins and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm sure as like a 26-year-old, like that's a stupid waste of money. But like, if you're 8 years old and everyone at your school is playing Fortnite and the hot Kyle of your school walks in and says that he has the John Wick skin, you're going to want to spend money on the John Wick skin.
This is like, huh.
And there are also all these scams out there now where it's these malicious links where like a 10-year-old will click on this thing that says free money or free V-Bucks. And then they click on it and then they, again, give their parents
credit card
information. And then, it's a whole...
And the game, I think Fortnite is free, if I'm correct. And
right.
I think that
the
way that it makes money outside of like very lucrative sponsorship deals is through like this V-Buck system. If it wasn't this popular, the only way it would make income at all is through, not income, but would make profit is through this V-Buck system. So I think it like kind of goes to show how children are like right away, like no matter what art form or like what hobby they do are immediately indoctrinated into capitalism and like needing to spend a shit ton of money to get ahead is like the only way.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. You said that there should be an 18 and up limit. I think there should be a
30 plus?
No. I was going to say I think it should be 13 and under. No one older than that.
Oh, actually, I actually agree with you.
Thank you. And you shouldn't be able to buy shit.
I agree that there should be a 13 and under limit.
But maybe no guns.
Well, I mean, the argument, and I'm sorry that we're kind of having a scattered brain conversation about it. But
welcome to
But the argument around, like, well, violent video games can't be the only reason, you know, kids are doing these acts of domestic terrorism because, you know, they're also exposed to violent movies and, you know, violent songs and whatever, which is true. But I think it's an entirely different artistic experience when you're immersed in that. Like when you, because you're
when
not
you
watching.
You think you're the shooter.
Yeah, because you're not telling you're not controlling John Wick into like shooting a bunch of people and beating
them up. Well, we're going to talk more about that. Let's pause that, but we're going to come back to it because I'm going to talk about some of the more infamous gamers who cause problems. But I want to talk a little bit more about all the money that's on the table and some more about the lawsuits that have gone into it, so that have come out of gaming. So one that's ongoing right now is FaZe Banks, who we mentioned.
Right.
FaZe Clan is being sued by one of the players that they had on their that they acquired for their team, named Tfue.
Okay.
And he's saying that the contract that they brought him in was exploitative. So basically, the contract that he was in, 80% of the money that he was making from sponsorships on his YouTube and Twitch streams. Twitch, for those of you who don't know, it's a lot of people tune into Twitch purely to watch people play video games. Mm-hmm. So FaZe Clan was taking a huge chunk of their money, and he had said on a stream, like, it's really not worth it, like, what they're doing for me versus the amount of money that they're getting. And then FaZe Banks has put out this
21-minute long
video that I watched, and he doesn't make a single point in there. He says, well, we've only taken $60,000 from him so far as our cut, as, like, being
his
platform. I don't know what you call it. As being his team that supposedly has benefits that exposes you to a wider audience, whatever. But the idea is he never disputes that the contract is exploitative or that it has these exploitative terms in it. He's just like, dude, I thought of you as like family.
You could have
come to me and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, FaZe, it doesn't change what the contract says, honey.
How old is Tfue?
20.
So the interesting thing with that video, and I think FaZe Banks specifically, is that when a celebrity, like an action, not like, yeah, okay. So I would say when a celebrity outside of the YouTube sphere gets in trouble, they do the infamous iPhone Notes apology, which is like a screenshot of like a very quick and dashed off, I'm sorry, I'm growing, blah, 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 blah. But the other side of this on the YouTube aspect is they go the complete other way, and they launch into these like 21-minute long mea culpas that almost like over apologizes, but also nothing is really said. You know, like it kind of like it's like you were saying, though, it's kind of like his legal defense is like the we were boys defense, and we were family, and like why would you ever think I could like turn my back on my family?
I got your fucking
name tattooed to me, bro. Like how stupid does that make me look?
And he got like his name tattooed?
He got the word Tfue.
Yeah, he got code Tfue.
But this person's name is Tanner, but his like online persona's name is Tfue. And so he got that tattooed to him, which is not a legal defense.
I've tried that in the court of law. I've said, your name is tattooed on me.
Your Honor,
look at my ass
tattoo.
Look at
my ass tattoo.
It says Molly, and somehow she's still screwing me over.
But this is what happens, I think, when a new industry is, you know, a new industry forms. Its leader is people like FaZe Banks.
it's like a fucking idiot.
Kind of idiots, but like probably malicious people in their own right. And like, to FaZe Banks' credit, like he built a very successful brand.
Yeah.
And I think in order to build something like that, you have to have a level of drive and a complete
manipulation
and narcissism. And it kind of reminds me of the expletive contracts from like Motown and Berry Gordy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a new industry that, you know, if you think back to like the Mark Zuckerberg trials and, you know, the senators were asking like, well, how do I log into Facebook?
And you're
telling me that you can post photos like, the people who would have control over this regulation have no
idea.
Like, God, if it takes this long to tell Katie what a trick shot is, like, imagine, like, any real regulation going into this space.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point. It also made me think of, like, you hear about these horrible NFL or whatever, professional sports. You hear about these, like, 18-year-olds who get hired, and then it's like, oh, he had no idea what money was.
No, like, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's really interesting. But I love what you said about the dominant personalities in video, in gaming now are FaZe Banks on the one hand, and then you also have Ninja, who's a very well-known personality. And you describe them, it's like FaZe Bank is like the sleaze bag, and then you have Ninja, who's kind of the altar boy of the gaming community as a whole. And he's very, what's the word? It's like,
I would say he's mommy's first like streamer. So if you're like eight years old and like your kid is watching Ninja, who your kid is probably watching Ninja, he's like, you know, kind of like eccentric, you know, with the blue hair and like kind of
screams. Blue hair? What's going on with that?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's like a mom would watch that and be like, well, he's watching Ninja. You know,
like. Ben just made the most offensive mom face I've ever seen.
It was very good.
I was like, Mom? But yeah, he tweeted, you sent me a tweet that Ninja made, said, before you guys retweet some porn tweet or naked girl, think about your future wife or job.
Porn tweet.
it's very like
sanctimonious.
Yeah, it's goody two shoes, I think, in an almost too sincere way, where it's like they do care about their subscribers. One thing that's interesting about Twitch and I think the gaming community as a whole is they're constantly thanking the people who watch their stuff in a way that like you'll go to a concert and then like Ariana Grande or whoever will be like, thank you guys so much. You all mean the world to me. But like, that's kind of the extent of it. Again, when you're streaming for hours and hours on end and you're sick and tired of talking about yourself.
You're just like, I love you all.
Yeah, totally. And like, you see it with like, you know, like the e-girl personalities do this a lot. And that's how like dangerous parasocial relationships form, which again, as we traipse into the world of disgusting men.
as we want to do.
Yeah. As is the path of, but like that's how those relationships are formed, I think, is like a lot of like sincere, like constant adoration for your anonymous ghosts of fan base.
Yeah, it's very creepy to me. I know a lot of YouTubers who do that where they always end up like, I love you guys so much. Like, you made it possible for me to vacation in Aruba. And it's like,
and they're like, I'm only telling you this. It's obviously streaming to how many people, but
And it's like, you can tell how for, you know, as an adult, you know what's happening. But as a 9-year old,
they
love me. We're friends. Sad. We're real friends.
We're real friends.
It's like how adults treat podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah. We also, by the way, love you guys.
We love you guys.
Love you guys.
Leave us a review on iTunes confirming that we're friends. Friends in real life. I wanted to also touch on, I want to talk more about parasocial relationships, but I also wanted to talk about the criticism that I remember sort of sticking out to me. It seems like video games went through kind of a growing pains, like in 2014, 2015, which is when we saw the rise of Gamergate.
Yes.
And a lot of that came out of the one feminist critic of video games, whose name a lot of you will probably recognize, Anita Sarkeesian, whose name comes up all over and over when it comes to like this trope of girls versus video games. she made a Kickstarter campaign to start a series of YouTube videos that was called Tropes versus Women in Video Games in 2012. And her videos are sort of very paint by the numbers, very sort of expected critiques, where it talks a lot about, like, I watched one video called Strategic Butt Coverings, where it points out that the butts of female characters in video games are always like very emphasized, and like as a player, your point of view is often like looking at a female butt. If there's a female character in the video game at all. Whereas male characters in video games always...
No butt.
It's like covered by a cape or a tunic. Or you're sort of positioned as a player where everything is above the waist and you don't even know that he has a butt.
Yeah. I mean,
and it was like, I love this. And they showed, she showed us an example. She was like, look, if you go to this Batman video game, like, even if you try to look at Batman's butt, he like keeps turning where it's like, don't look at it. Don't look at it. Yeah. You can't see it. What? There's no butt here. Don't look. And it is very funny.
That is funny.
But it's also like, my first impression watching this video was like, Anita, like, the people playing these games are like 18 to 24 year old men. Of course, it's going to cater to that point of view.
Sure.
Like, a lot of porn doesn't appeal to women because it's catering to that point of view. And so, like, as a woman, you watch an average porn and you think, I can't really see myself in this scenario. Yeah. I don't really relate to any of the women who are in this.
Involved.
Yeah. And so it's like, well, who? I sort of came away from that, like, who cares?
Yeah.
But then, oh my God. So, in preparation for this, I was trying to find the phrase, where the phrase gamer girl go home came from, because I'd heard of this. And there's, you know, it's sort of known that there's a lot of animosity towards girls who play games. And so I came upon this 2015 episode of Law and Order that's about a female gaming developer, and there's this female gamer who's like at a conference, and this mean gamer boy is like, gamer girl, go home. And I think that's where it started. And then the plot is this game developer is kidnapped by these evil gamers who want to punish her for being involved in video games. And I was like, well, ripped from the headlines. Like, when did this happen? But it turns out Anita Sarkeesian, it kind of is loosely based on this real thing that happened to Anita Sarkeesian, where she was given an award by the Ambassador Award from the Gamer Developer Choice Award in 2014. And someone sent an email saying that they were going to bomb the award ceremony. Yeah. Because Anita Sarkeesian
got something.
Yeah. So there was just like this horribly like misogynistic outpouring from the gamer community. Like, they were making these, like, she was getting death and rape threats all the time. Someone made an animation where you could punch Anita in the face and like see her face get bruised. I went to find it to see if that still existed. And there's like, there's now it's like that's taken down, but there's like a tombstone with the inscription, Anita has not only scammed thousands of people out of over $160,000, referring to the money that she raised for her YouTube video series,
okay,
but also uses the excuse that she is a woman to get away with whatever she damn well pleases. She claims to want gender equality in video games, but in reality, she just wants to use the fact that she was born with a vagina to get free money and sympathy from everyone who crosses her path. And from what I read, that was sort of the general consensus of a lot of the gaming community.
Wow. I would love free money and sympathy.
Yeah.
Yet doesn't come across.
Well, I think that, and earlier in the show,
Ben, defend your people.
Yeah, no.
First of all,
she's wrong. no, I mean, like, this is where I think I said earlier about how the world of gaming is so like vast at this point, and like it's in every household. So I think everyone touches it to some degree. But like, yeah, this is the community that you hear a lot about, and it's for reasons like this, where a completely milquetoast and like,
yeah,
kind of at this point commonplace critique of video games, like, yeah, women wear scantily clad in video games. Like, that's not necessarily novel or like,
yeah. She points out that like a lot of female characters also that they're like wearing basically lingerie, whereas like the male characters wear armor. It's like, lingerie is an armor. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, a lot of the people who develop these games are men, like the same way that like art has failed women in the past in every medium,
right?
You know, like.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. So like, that's the other thing.
True.
It's like the all of art history. You could make this.
Yeah, you really could.
Most of art history was just Italian men saying like, "I want more boobs on this wall. Yes. How can we make that happen? Oh, we'll say that it's Venus."
I think women lay around like this.
Yeah.
And like outside of like God or like biblical figures, like there are not that many naked men in Italian.
Yeah.
In fact, they're often, you know, with the puffiest, like, Renaissance wear that you can imagine. Like,
yeah. Well, there are a fair amount of Davids, nude Davids, just to like stand up for.
She is an art historian, as we all know.
Yeah, but yeah, it is very much like the male gaze is being catered to. And then it's like shows like Game of Thrones, where it's like, oh my God, the amount of like female nudity and then frankly rape that goes on in that show. And I just don't hear like the same like a feminist critique of Game of Thrones. And it's like, why not? But it did. But then just the backlash that she got, she and another female game developer.
Brianna Wu.
And then there was also Zoe Quinn, mm-hmm. who made Depression Quest. And someone started, her ex started a rumor that she had slept with a journalist at a popular gaming website called Kotaku. Just to get positive reviews of Depression Game. And so that was basically, and then it was Alec Baldwin's brother, a lesser Baldwin. I don't remember.
There's five of them.
Well, I hope it was Billy Baldwin because he is the most famous alumni of Binghamton University.
Oh.
So anytime he gets in the news, where I went to school, so anytime it's him and Flo the Progressive Girl. So anytime any of them get in the news, I'm totally.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It wasn't Billy. I think Andrew. I don't know. Began with an A. One Baldwin retweeted this idea that Zoe Quinn was part of this. Women just, you know, walking all over men and just getting what they want because they have vaginas. And that's where the whole Gamergate. I think he coined the phrase Gamergate, if I'm not mistaken. A Baldwin, yeah.
I think it might have been the ex-boyfriend who accused her.
Oh,
maybe.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was the ex-boyfriend accusing her, but it was him. It was the Baldwin who promoted this idea, and I think he first used the phrase "Gamergate."
And then there are personalities like Red Stees on Twitter. I think his name is Stephen Miller, and Ian Miles Chong on Twitter, who I think were the kind of the charge against female gamers, which again, like, is so silly because she doesn't even say anything like that offensive. Like, she doesn't. I think that those videos are more just like kind of comic above it kind of critiques where like she's poking fun with like not even that much animosity or like
And it's a kind of thing where it's like you watch these and you think like, well, yeah, it stands to reason that when there's a bigger audience for video games among women, which now I read in Marie Claire that now it is about even the amount of women who play video games. Obviously, there's going to be more of a female perspective represented in video games. And it seems like, so I also wanted to mention, so Anita, Brianna Wu, Zoe Quinn, all of these women were doxxed to the point where like they had to leave their homes.
Holy shit. Had
received death threats constantly. So it's like, it's that thing of like, if you or I saw their criticisms, like I said before.
It's innocuous.
It's innocuous. Yeah. But then you see like the misogyny really jumps out when you see like the backlash they received for their like tiny little.
That's what gave it weight was the reaction.
Yeah. And I would even add that it's unrepentant too, because the people who are doxing them, I mean, outside of the Baldwin, I mean, but like the people who are taking the charge and sort of like coordinating this harassment are anonymous basement gamers. Like it's the black-pilled people that we were talking about before that I think are like very linked to like incel culture and like it's kind of impossible to separate those two things after a point because they make it so obvious that like the reason that they're able to go after like internet harass is because there's no like outside of getting reported and like banned on Twitter, like they'll just make another account.
Right.
Like it's kind of silly to think that there's any real punitive action that can be taken against someone who
makes like veiled online threats.
Makes veiled online threats. Yeah.
Cowards.
Yeah. So that Baldwin, though, grow up.
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out which one. I looked up their names. None of them begin with an A, but Alec.
Oh, really? Okay.
Steven, Daniel, and whatever.
But like, what an also like odd like thing to stick your neck out in like the middle of the 2010s, right?
Yeah. But it seems like so
that
since then, so if you look at the feminist frequency, that was Anita Sarkeesian's YouTube channel. If you look at it now, she's sort of moved into more general criticism and talking more about movies and TV shows. And she isn't making as many of the, or she, I think, has totally moved on from that original video series. And she said in a Polygon retrospective in from last year, what I was putting forth was not radical at all. For some reason, people's minds were blown by me saying, hey, let's not treat women like shit. And now it seems, but it seems like now, as I said, like the number of female gamers has grown. Do you feel, in your, from your perspective as a gamer, do you feel like there has been sort of a sea change and there is less of this hostility towards the idea of feminist?
I mean, like, well, first of all, I think that the reason that there was such a backlash among the male gamers is because their only real, I would say, exposure to women are their moms, which is like a little bit mean, but like I think a lot of these like guys who like spend hours and hours playing games that aren't professional Twitch streamers like are kind of doted on by like the central woman figure in their life. So when they have someone like even scold them mildly and they have the opportunity to lash out in like a bombastic way, like I think about like Cartman and his mom almost about the way that like Cartman's mom is almost like a completely docile woman that still gets her son scorned. I think that exists in the gaming community in spades.
Yeah.
So when you have someone like articulately and like kind of like above it all, like deride your gaming culture in a way that makes you feel a little bit embarrassed, you double down and act even angrier about it.
You freak the fuck out.
As far as there being more women in games, absolutely. I think there's a lot of money to be made in it to be a female gamer. Just like kind of in the exploitative way. And I'm not saying that's anyone's fault that parasocial relationships happen, but like you do get those guys.
I want to know
like,
more about that.
Let's talk about Twitch
thoughts.
Yeah, let's talk about Twitch thoughts, definitely.
So thought, again, boomer community, thought stands for that hoe
over there.
Over there. So
over where you have?
On Twitch. So on Twitch there are a lot of women who are saying, you know what, not only am I going to game, I'm going to game and be very cute as I game and attract a large male audience, a large male following to my Twitch streams. Sometimes there's some dancing up.
Molly, what do you mean?
Dressing up like an anime character,
like
doing
a cosplay
some kind of sexy cosplay that really, again, very much caters to a certain nerdy male point of view.
Sure.
A lot of them are, like you're saying, parasocial relationships.
Yeah, and like also get that money, girl. Like,
oh,
yeah.
You know I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Completely. I
no
mean,
one
like,
supports it more than me.
Yeah.
I think it's a great like democratic way almost to make capital work for you. Like if there's a market for, you know, horny men that want to see you dress up as like sexy Princess Peach, dress up as sexy Princess Peach by all means. Like you'll, again, make more money than being a creative director at Vice or whatever. So
My sister is a very successful cosplayer.
Wait, what?
She is. I'll show you. We actually should have her on for a cosplay episode. Yeah. Side note. And I'm like, do you play these games? She's like, sometimes. But she's just like, dress. I mean, who cares?
Totally make that money.
So is she doing that like on a cam, like an OnlyFans type thing? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
I mean, like, I think like the interesting thing about these parasocial relationships too is that like you'll get less guys who are like, go home, log off forever, like burn your computer. But you will get guys who, and I've rarely seen this before on a male gaming channel, but will kind of like backseat game.
Comments. Tell her what to do.
Like, hey, Zoe, like maybe try pressing Q a little bit earlier next time. Like, but like, we'll also like kind of shroud that in like these like weird, like, very like PG compliments that are like,
wow, you did a really great job back there, but like next time.
Which is like really funny to me because like a lot of
this man can even probably shave his own face, but he's gonna tell her how to play
game. Like these are kind of the men who are I would say like the Reddit community incels without hate, who like probably like don't have that many relationships with women like in real life.
Ben, we had you on this podcast because we thought you were gonna like stand up for them,
no,
but you're just saying all the stuff that I would say. But thank you. It's very.
I came ready to play. I listened to you. I know. Yeah, I knew what I was getting into. I mean, no. I mean, I can take the devil's advocate here because I'm sure that a lot of the people who like are commenting or are on like parasocial relationships like have anxiety or have like social issues where like, they can the same guys that like join the mystery house that like don't really know
what is that
the Mystery House.
Oh, Mystery from the game. From the game.
From the game.
Mysteries House.
Yeah, right. Mysteries House. Yeah, go back and listen to our episode about The Game and Neil Strauss if you haven't.
A book that I've read.
Well,
yeah, there's a Venn diagram to be had there.
So wait, the relationships, they're only online between these folks?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I want to know about that.
So Twitch streamers get donations, and some of the very attractive women get huge donations. Just like we talked about in our mukbang episode, a hot lady does anything in front of a camera.
And it's like, throw money at her.
And it's like, give her a bunch of money.
100%.
So my favorite scandal to come out of this, it's not that interesting. So it's a Twitch streamer who goes by Amaranth, and she had a YouTube video made about her by a channel called Elle of the Day, where this guy exposed her as being married.
Oh.
And you might say, who cares?
Yeah.
Well, she had been...
I did say that.
I said that in my head.
We all motioned, who cares?
Yeah. So what you need to know about Amaranth is that she is one of these very sexy streamers, and she does portray herself as being single. Like, she does not mention her husband. And she, in fact, I think had made statements saying that she was,
like, I'm single.
In fact, single. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and she has gotten single donations of as much as $13,000.
Oh.
Yeah. I saw a YouTube comment on this guy's video exposing her, saying, imagine having to explain you spent $13,000 not on a college tuition, not on yearly apartment rent, but on a stranger who thanks you and forgets you after she turns off the stream. LMAO. And so there was this sense of indignation among the gaming community of, like, how dare she come off as single? But it's that thing of, like, okay, if you're a man and you want to give away a ton of money to the sexy lady online, that's your business.
Right.
But it's like, do you really think that you're going to create a relationship with
they
her?
They do.
Yeah, totally.
And
I think
they
that's
do
the problem.
Think that.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's their problem that they have that delusion. But she was cultivating the sense that she is single. So she must know that to some extent.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she was playing it to get the money.
So
a lot of people are, you know.
Yeah.
Porn stars are often married. Sorry to break it to everyone on here.
What?
Sorry to say.
Don't you talk about Ben's girlfriend like that.
Yeah, that's not that big of a deal.
So, okay, so you say that, but you're not the one who's $13,000 out.
Yeah,
you're right.
I mean,
look,
like,
you're right.
I think there is this, sense of betrayal from learning that she's married, and it almost comes out as like this, how could you do this to me thing.
Yeah.
Where it's, there's like no, because in these men's lives, or women, whoever is getting these sort of parasocial bonds formed, and it's so one way, that person only exists in the sphere of entertaining you and like delighting you and like kind of flirting with you in a way.
Yeah.
And when you watch like this stream, you're probably alone or you're like me and my roommates who watch it for fun. But like you're probably alone when you make that $13,000 donation to an e-girl.
Oh,
so, and she is alone when she vlogs.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way it does come off as like a Skype chat.
Yeah.
Where like she gives everyone like a little bit of personal time, and the way to kind of get the most out of that personal time is with a bigger and bigger donation. So instead of getting thanks Ben for the $5 donation, you get, oh my God, guys, I just got $13,000 from Denali Farrell.
He would,
yeah.
Denali Farrell is a close personal friend of Ben's.
He's my co-host on Without Warning. But yeah, I mean, I think that there is a way, again, it comes down to the fact that a lot of these men don't have like actual, you know, real relationships. And the ones that do, like, I'm sure there are a ton of married men and like otherwise successful men who enjoy the parasocial relationship and enjoy the e-girl aspect and like kind of like, well, this fantasy of what a woman can be is being built for me. I wouldn't want to shatter it by meeting her in real life.
Yeah.
And like, now that I have like this wife or this girlfriend who is nuanced and complicated and challenges me, why would I want to learn and grow when I can just constantly be enamored by the smiling woman on my computer screen?
Yeah. It's very sad, but in a way, I'm glad that they sort of had that illusion shattered for them.
Yeah.
But the fallout for this, for Amaranth, I read an article from The Verge where they talked about, where Amaranth talks about, since that video is released exposing her as a married woman, she says that, "I've had 7 unsolicited food deliveries,"
oh,
in
no.
parentheses, "a popular way to harass streamers."
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do they know where you live?
Exactly. Very threatening. Very
that
spooky.
Is scary.
Well, the spookiest one Ooh. Is called, the spookiest form of harassment is called swatting. Did you guys pick
no,
up on
what
swatting?
Is
they
that?
Talk about that in the Law and Order SVU episode.
What is swatting?
So swatting is when you have beef with someone online and then you call the FBI and say that that streamer is a terrorist or whatever.
Oh my
so
God.
A SWAT team comes to their home, or a pedophile, and they have child porn. And a SWAT team comes to their house and, like, investigates them.
Yeah.
Has the FBI picked up on this at all? That they should maybe do a little research before they go to well, people's houses?
You kind of have to investigate every bomb threat, right? Because it's so dramatic to accuse someone of, like, being a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, I'm glad that they err on the side of swatting.
SWAT
first, ask questions
first.
Later.
Yeah, you know what? You're right.
That's my motto.
I also don't mind if these... No offense, nerds get arrested for something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then it's, like, very hard to figure. They're very good. They have got, there have been, I don't know their names, but I know that there have been cases where people who have started the swatting have gotten in trouble. But they're, you know, they're dark web people. They know how to hide who they are and disguise, like, themselves. So the FBI sometimes has trouble figuring out, like, who is it that did this swatting, this false and
There's
malicious
There's just
got
to be a cooler way to use their talents is all I'm going to say. You know?
Yeah, gamers, if you're listening, if you take away one
do
thing.
Do one cool
thing.
Please don't
swat.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't swat me, but.
Yeah. So we've kind of been dancing around this concept that gamers have kind of a dark persona in the popular imagination. And a lot of that, let's be honest, is because some of the really famous murderers and shooters, school shooters, who have been tied to video games. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And Ben, you said something interesting when we were talking about this before. You were saying that you don't think that that video games really do promote violence, which I think is a very... I agree with you, just to flip over all the cards. Like, I think, well, just to dive into it, one of the most infamous, of course, was the Columbine shooters.
Guys, yeah.
Eric Harris played Doom. Do you know what Doom is?
Yeah, Doom is like one of the first arcade first-person shooters.
Right.
So, like, the...
So this wouldn't have been, like, a very realistic game. It would have been, like, Pac-Man level.
No, you're shooting,
level.
Like... You're shooting, like, aliens. You know, like, it's like the movie Alien, almost.
Yeah.
That was, like, the first... I think, though, that the Columbine shooting is so interesting, right? Because it is Doom, but it also, like, Marilyn Manson was brought up as, like, a possible, like...
Right.
Spook. And I think that it's one of those... And it's weird because I don't know what this generation's version of it is, but, like, it's one of those, an item of pop culture that the older generation quite doesn't understand being conflated into something satanic,
right.
Like in the way the 80s.
I was going to say Satanic Panic, all this shit.
Like Dungeons and Dragons were, like, a satanic thing. And, again, this is something that repeats itself through history. I'm trying to figure out what that would be. I don't know, probably astrology.
Tune in for an upcoming episode about
astrology. I only
astrology.
Kill Libras.
But yeah, I mean, it's tough because I think that it's a fundamental misunderstanding of, like, oh, well, they're learning shooting from a very young age, which fine.
Right.
And but they learn that from, like, you know, movies and TV anyway. But I think it's a combination of that jaded, like, kind of introduction to violence quickly and frequently, plus the community that you meet online, which again is anonymous, and
which
oftentimes
wouldn't have been with the Columbine people.
Which wouldn't have been with the Columbine
too
people.
Early.
I mean, like, that's too early. But I think now, as like, where there's unfortunately a mass shooting every week, and it's always being the first question is always, was this person a gamer? The answer is probably yes, but the answer is probably also
everybody's a gamer.
Everyone's a gamer.
Yeah,
and everyone watches violent movies. And like, there's
I actually agree with you guys. I know maybe it seemed like I wouldn't. I'm of a LA Not So Confidential should do this, by the way.
Yeah.
But I think...
They did do a Columbine
episode. Oh, they did. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about gaming specifically.
Right, yeah, okay.
Have me on.
Yeah, they're great. I think that just playing violent games is not going to make you violent. But it's like I also probably won't let my kids play violent games just because I think it's gross.
Yeah, I think that there's something to be said for not being a nerd to that kind of thing at a young age. Sure. But so I also read, this was interesting, that there was a rumor going around that a lot of people still believe that Eric Harris was making his own levels in Doom.
Oh.
And that he was designing it to look like the layout of his school to like practice, which is not true.
Yeah, that doesn't sound true.
It's very difficult for a high school student
really
to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So, according to Snopes, that's not true. But this inspired a 2005 indie game called Super Columbine Massacre RPG.
See, I just don't love that.
No one loved it.
I just don't love it.
And then, so from that, there was, in 2006, there was the Dawson College shooting where 25-year-old Kim Veer Gill shot 19 people and killed one woman. And he had talked about on his blog this game, Super Columbine Massacre. And so people were like, aha.
Right.
So that was one of the earlier examples I found of people saying, aha, video games and mass shootings. Let's remember that mass shootings, you talked about this in our My Favorite Murder episode. What was the first school shooting? It was a girl.
Oh, yeah. Of course,
before
I don't remember
80s,
her name.
Yeah. Before video games. So.
And it was a girl.
Yeah. Another famous instance of this, there was the guy in Norway at Anders Breivik, who in 2011, he detonated a bomb in central Oslo that killed 8 people and then shot and killed 69 people attending a youth summer camp. But he was like a nationalist, and he had said that his attacks were as part of a protest against the Islamicization, according to him, of Norway. And then it came out that he was a big-time gamer, and people asked him, like, World of Warcraft.
Did
that do it? And he was like, no, why are you asking me about that? But he did say that Call of Duty, he said that that was useful as a way of practicing shooting.
No, that makes sense. It seems useful, but it doesn't seem like it's going to turn you into something you're
right?
not. But
it doesn't turn you into something you're not.
I would even say, though, the thing with, I almost think that's a little bit of a joke because, like, shooting someone in Call of Duty and shooting someone in real life outside of like the intense moral pressure that's on you to take a human life is physically very difficult to like, if you like are just picking up like an AR, it's very difficult to like actually learn how to use it correctly.
I would imagine.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's a fair point.
Look, it's not easy to use a gun.
I have fired a gun in a shooting range, and it sucks.
I did, too, and I cried right after. I really did. I was like, this is
awful.
Really not fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's,
it sucks.
I think that, like, in the case of a mass shooting, when you're in something like a school or a congested, like, Jason Aldean concert, there's enough people where if you kind of shoot wherever, you're going to hit something, but, like, I don't think a lot of those people could hit like an isolated moving target
right.
in like combat, for example.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like do it like, you know, like a cop chasing like a perp, for example. Like, I don't think that they would, it's not like they teach shootings. They don't make like the police play Call of Duty to like learn how to aim better. Like,
yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. So speaking of, cops, there, Devin Moore, is a young man who is a Grand Theft Auto enthusiast who went on a rampage where he did kill a man, stole his car. The police pulled him over on suspicion of stealing a car, and then he killed both police officers. And then the arresting officer said, supposedly, I've seen it reported multiple outlets, that he supposedly told one of the police officers who finally did arrest him, life is a video game. You gotta die sometime. And he was sentenced to death in 2005. I think he's still on death row. But it's that, I forget if this was his attorney or just an attorney who got involved, is Jack Thompson, who's a really famous in this world of claiming that video games cause violence. And he said, and attorney Jack Thompson has had a long career of protesting like porn and rap music. He's just a real just a real no fun type of guy. But he said about this case, he said, what we're saying is that Devin Moore was, in effect, trained to do what he did. He was given a murder simulator, talking about Grand Theft Auto.
Sure.
Now, I play Grand Theft Auto.
So have I.
It's not really a murder simulator. You can do anything in Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto is one that I also was horrified when I found out, like, you can kill a prostitute.
Yes,
you can have sex with a sex worker and then kill her and then take the money back.
Yeah. Like, that's
not
great.
But that's one option of many.
When I played, I would do everything I could to not get in any trouble.
Yeah.
I would just gently drive around.
Me too.
I just drove.
I was like, I want a shot. Like, I was just like a cutesy play. It was beautiful to play.
Yeah. No, there's some of them, like the one where they're in LA, it's very lovely.
It's very lovely.
They have like Flying Lotus on the radio.
Yeah. You can listen to the radio.
You can just crank the radio.
That was just me pretending to be a teenager. I was like, I just want to drive. That was it.
So, yeah.
It's also a teenage simulator.
I think that it's the same thing of like when people say, so like mental illness is something that comes up a lot in court cases where it's like, or really bad childhoods.
Yes.
And the standard of that being a factor that matters, like you have to be so mentally ill that if a cop was standing next to you, you would have done the same thing. And like you have to be completely detached from any form of reality. So, and I think that with video games, it's a similar thing. It's like you can't prove that someone, there are plenty of people who play video games, violent video games, from the time they're young and would never kill anybody. So you can't say, I feel
right,
like that's such.
Ben, you'd never kill us.
Ben,
you'd never kill us.
Ben, what's up?
I would never kill you guys. I would never treat
He's
you.
He's hitting us.
No, I mean, I think that's right. And I think also like the way that he gets pulled over and kind of, or gets arrested and then kind of poeticizes life is but a video game is sort of like more a testament to like
that it's not about video games.
People are more concerned, I think, with an entry into the American myth of like violence and like kind of like making themselves like a hero. And I think that when video games are so important and it does have like, you know, a little bit of obviously like a nihilistic violent streak in Grand Theft Auto, that like this is just the way that I'm going to be a narcissist and have the world remember me as being the video game shooter. And like, I think that you can kind of poeticize that about anything, right? Like, I think anyone who like wants to be a famous like shooter in that way, sort of like the Mad Dog Killer or anyone who went on a killing spree in like the 50s or 60s, like, they just want to be poeticized and like remembered for that exact quote.
I think that bottom line, my takeaway from all that was video games don't kill people. Testosterone kills people.
Rock on. Completely. I mean, like, that is every sort of disease that we've... Nice.
Katie and I were giving each other rock on hand motions.
But yeah, no, I think that like every, and you know, when you said earlier that you kind of hope that I would stand up for gaming, I am standing up for gaming because I love it. It's a ton of fun. And like, I've been invited to a wedding from someone who I met playing video games.
Aww.
Like,
oh my God.
It is like a nice way to meet people. And I want the community to do better. Like, I don't want,
this is good.
I don't want the vision of a gamer to be like, you know, some black-pilled shitty nerd that like spends their time trying to ruin Brianna Wu's life. I want it to be people like me who are constantly hooking up with hot girls.
Just a bunch
super
of
smart
sweeties.
And funny. Yeah.
No. I wish there were more gamers like you.
Thank you, Katie. No, I mean, but it, like, that's true. And I think that's my overall thesis is that like any art form, it should be treated with respect and like excitement, enthusiasm. And, you know, the games that I like to play, which are like the innocent kind of like the most you're doing is like hitting a goblin with your sword kind of thing. Like,
speaking for the goblin community, I find that pretty offensive.
I don't know. I mean, like, I just want gamers to do better. I want them to, you know, have fun in a very like nice, cute
you know
way.
What?
That's a beautiful wrap up.
You know, you have your hot Kyle and we have our hot Ben.
Yeah, oh, thanks,
really
girls.
We're all putting our hands the in way. The middle.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
Go home, gamer girl.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start. Just because we use cheats doesn't mean we're not smart. I don't see what anyone can see in anyone else. But
you are always trying to keep it real. I'm in love with how you feel. I don't see what anyone